So what do you think of that music, huh? Yeah, that was me. That was me. That high voice, that's my voice. No, God has made some amazing cultures out there, hasn't he? And I mean, God made him. I believe that there's something holy about the cultures of the world and the cool stuff and just the way they do music and the different things they do. And we get to enjoy it more than maybe they do because we know the creator who gave it. Amen? It's kind of a neat deal. But I'm excited to be here. This is really a family reunion for me because so many of you, as I look across, we've shared life together, gone through things together, and it's a wonderful thing. And I just want to say I'm so thankful to God for Grace Point and the family here. You guys mean an awful lot to us, and I praise God for the technology of this age to be a missionary overseas and to be able to keep up through Facebook and Skype calls and different things. I can't imagine what it was like 30, 40 years ago where you're pretty much on your own for long periods of time. It just, God knows us. He knows that this Mr. Brad Butcher and his family needed to be missionaries at this time. Because we do a little better with that connectiveness. So, but that's just the way God is. He's a very personal, very thoughtful God. And that's really what we want to talk about today. Who is this God? And the title of our message today is Pray If It Matters. Pray If It Matters. Or maybe you could say you will pray if it matters to you, right? You will. You'll just do it because you believe that it matters. And we moved to India this last year, and I found myself in this guest house, and my wife just found out she's pregnant. She's got morning sickness. She's also got the worst cough she's ever had. It lasted for a couple months, hacking her lungs out. And that was torture, just seeing her not able to sleep, going through this. And of course, when you're pregnant, you can't take cold medicine. It's one of those things, right? And so we were going through that, and our kids weren't sleeping because they were jet lagged, and it's 102 degrees. And so we were thankful for that. It wasn't 110 like it could have been. And we have no car. We're kind of stranded. We're kind of hanging out in these little guest room, air-conditioned bedrooms, if you will. And, you know, little kids do really well with that, getting locked up in rooms. And and so that was a lot of fun. And we're going through this. Our container's sitting in a port in Chennai. And they're telling us if we don't send a couple more $1,000, we've already paid for everything, by the way. We already have an agreement. But evidently, there's some additional costs that are needed. And of course, they're going through our container and picking out things. We have a pastor friend that's down there watching this happen. And he's bribing a few of the guys to pull a few things aside and not let anyone steal them. Because he was looking out for us. And that was very nice. And so we're going through this. We're wondering, well, you know, all of our stuff is kind of up for grabs. The truck drivers that are finally secured to bring our stuff up are serious alcoholics, and so they get drunk along the way, and the pastor friend of ours is traveling with them, and they're trying to get the key from him so they can get in and maybe get some stuff, and he's fighting off their attacks, and they're drunk, so they're pretty aggressive at times, and this is all going on. He's calling me, telling me what's going on. He's telling me to pray, and I'm like, we're praying, hang in there, and this goes on for a couple days because in India, there's so many low-hanging wires. You ever seen pictures? I don't know what's in those wires, but there's thousands of them, and they're just hanging over the roads. And with a big container, you got to push all those wires up. You can't just plow through them and take everyone's phone service electricity away from them, I guess, although it'd be much easier. So he's dealing with that. This guy was a saint. He was just an amazing friend of ours. Excuse me, I'm trying to get hurt here. And so all this is going on, and the monsoons are coming. We just happened to land there with the threat of the downpour. And eventually our stuff gets there, and they put it into this little basement storage area that we find near the guest house. And then all this is going on, and God is saying, you were made for this. No, God's saying that. He's saying, you were made for this. Because the way that God has designed us is that we would go through things that we can't handle, and then he would show up and show us that he can handle it. The Bible says, the righteous shall live by, they'll live by it. It'll be like mandatory. It'll be just like part of life for the righteous. Because the alternative is that we would live by grit, our own strength and abilities and toughness. That's kind of the American way, right? We can do it. We can handle anything. But God said the righteous will live by faith. So here we find ourselves in a place that's good for us, but not comfortable. Where God is saying, you were made for this in Christ Jesus. You have a relationship with me, and I'm there with you, and I'm allowing this to happen so I can show up and reveal to you how real I am, how awesome I am, how caring and thoughtful I am. So I can show you and the people around you that there is a God who created the heavens and earth, who watches over his people. And the Old Testament and the Bible, you see story after story of God's people being backed up against the Red Sea. That's a pretty tough spot when the Egyptian army's coming after you. But God's not sitting there going, man, now what am I going to do? God's going, yep, just where I want you. Watch this. Let's just open that Red Sea. You can walk on dry ground. Then everyone will know. And that's what the scripture says over and over again. God did this, this, and this so that everyone would know that there is a God in Israel. That there is a God who is the living God. I long to see God reveal himself, don't you? Sometimes you just get sick of going through life just without really seeing God do something, without giving God that opportunity. And that's kind of how it works with God. It's somewhat optional to see his glory in some ways in our lives. And so God is saying, look, I'm putting you in a place where I can reveal myself. And I can tell you this, God was there every step of the way. My parents were there. They were encouraging us. My dad said, if God lets you guys down, it'll be the first time in history. He kept saying that. I was like, I guess that's true. As hard as it is to just, yes, that's true. And so we're going through this, and my parents finally take Hudson because he can't sleep at all, and he's sick. The kids were all sick, and so we get a little bit of sleep, and God just walks us through. We didn't have a place to stay. We had someone looking for 5 months, and that's why we're in this guest house, and place after place, just something falls through. We even had a couple places ready to go, and I want to charge you skin tax. Skin tax means they add more because they think they can get more out of you. And so all these things would happen, the whole deal's broke. And over and over again, finally it came down to the final day. That morning we get up, a container was there, the stuff's in this storage, and we still don't have a place to stay. My parents are leaving for the America. We're like, great, Lord, this is all the help we're getting from the parents. Of course, me, I'm like the only one that's not sick. And so I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be a lot of work. And we're feeling unchristian. I got to be honest with you. When you haven't slept for, you know, maybe a couple weeks, and you're in a foreign country, you're eating stuff that's burning holes through your body, and you're looking for some break from that, you know, you're just begging for McDonald's. You know you're in a situation when McDonald's is like, McDonald's, let's go. And so we're going through this, and of course God just keeps saying, you were made for this. You're right where I want you. I'm going to show up. Trust me. Trust me. Parents are leaving. We get up that morning, and we're getting something out of the storage. neighbor comes down and says, oh, hey, if you need a pump when that place fills up with water, call this number. We're like, what? The place fills up with water? That'd be nice to know before we put all of our stuff there. So we scram, we put everything up on totes and pallets and different things. And we go. as soon as that happens, the monsoon hits. I mean, a few hours later, boom. Sure enough, we go over there and it's just like filling up. You know, it's like this much water. And we're just like, wow, sure glad we decided not to be lazy this morning. That would have been disastrous. But God was there. I mean, the timing of the neighbor coming down and saying, hey, you know, by the way, and we were just like, oh my goodness, God, you got us covered. And it's those little things that God does all along the way. Of course, we're praying every day for a place that would be good for our family, safe place, and a place of ministry. And then that same day, Gunner, who's been there from San Diego, is part of our team, all of a sudden he just happens to remember the first house he looked at back in February when he first moved there. He said, oh, you know, I remember the house, you know. And it's walking distance from the guest house. We don't have a car anyway, so it's a good deal. We walk up there. My wife and my mom look at it, and they meet the landlord. He's like a grandfather kind of guy, real nice guy. And they just said, this is it. This is it. And so on that final day, we were having to leave the guest house because they had a new group coming in. We didn't know where we were going to go. And God says, there you go. And it's been a perfect place for our family. It's been awesome. Just God's hand the whole way through. And then, of course, the storage unit is like walking distance from there too, which is also important when all your stuff's in there. Now, it turned into what we call mosquito cave because it takes a cup of water to incubate 200 mosquitoes, I found out online. When you got a whole basement full of water, we're talking clouds of mosquitoes, praying against malaria as you go through them. God, no one got malaria. It was awesome. And in all this, God is just revealing himself. I feel like Jen and I were just saying, and she wanted me to share this with you. She said, just tell them it's been so evident that God has been with us. We're right where God wants us. We're where God wants to use us, and he wants to work in us. Just tell them how big time God showed up. Isn't that cool? So I passed that on for my wife. She wanted you guys to hear that. And partly because so many of you are praying. And we've seen God's hand move. I mean, we've done things there we never expected to do in the first year. Seeing hundreds of people give their life to Christ. Sharing the gospel seems like almost on a daily basis with people. I mean, India's culture kind of lends itself to that. Because every day people will show up at your house. And it's kind of a sign of friendship if they don't have to announce that they're coming. And so, you know, just constant traffic. And so many opportunities. Of course, you need people in your house all the time because the power is going off 3 times a day. You know, the water has to get delivered because you can't drink the water. You know, everything's always breaking down. So there's always an air conditioner guy working on that. There's always a guy fixing something that's broken. And, you know, it's just continuous. Now, in life, we can look at things as inconveniences. Or we can look at them as opportunities. Amen? And when you are a child of God, when you belong to Jesus Christ, everything's an opportunity. Because he is the perfect Father. Perfect Father. The Bible says that if you being wicked can be a loving father, or a loving parent, and you're evil and you mess up and you don't always get it right, how much more will your Father in heaven give you a spirit and give you what you need? Amen? And that's the kind of relationship God wants with us. And sometimes we feel like God's so far out there. Let's take a look at this scripture that we have, Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Colossians 4, this is from the Apostle Paul, who was one of those early missionaries. And he was a mightily used of God. And yet, we see something interesting. Here's a guy, by the way, that was killing Christians, putting them in prison. Anytime you can put whole families in prison and kill people and be a part of that, it was part of Stephen being stoned, if you remember. You got issues, right? It's like, you got something going on, some hardness in your heart when you can just watch people get slaughtered, get thrown in prison, just because you view things differently religiously. You got issues. Paul had a lot of issues. And God knew for Paul, it would take blinding him with light on a journey he was making and just speaking audibly to him and say, Paul, why are you persecuting me? God knows what we need to be able to believe in him. Did you know that? He knows what it'll take, and he's willing to do it because he is so in love with us. He's the hound of heaven. He's after us. Some of you right here, sitting here, God's after you. And you start thinking about it, think about what's been happening a few weeks, a few months previous to now. Maybe you'll start to see, oh, maybe God's after me. Because God is willing to do whatever it takes to bring us into relationship with him. Because he knows that's our only hope. That's what we're made for. And so he did that for Paul. And then Paul now goes and shares that with everyone else. Look what he says, Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim the message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. There's that word opportunity. There's lots of opportunities for us to be able to make the most of it for God with his help. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So here Paul is. He's a mighty preacher. And by the way, Paul and Barnabas, before they started this amazing work that God did through them, they were just sitting in a church in Antioch. And it says that while they were praying and fasting, now I wish it would have said why they had a barbecue, God spoke. Yeah, they would give us a good reason to have barbecues all the time. Ooh, God's going to speak to us with this delicious teriyaki chicken barbecue thing. I start dreaming about that. When you're living in a different country, you miss certain things, like a big juicy hamburger. You don't get a lot of hamburgers in India. They're not big on that, most of them. Although the Muslims are helpful with that because they do eat beef. But you start dreaming about an In-N-Out burger. Even a lot of us who've spent some time in California, we do that now and then, right? Double-double, animal style. That's my wife's favorite thing. You can live on In-N-Out while we're here. But God spoke, it says, when they were fasting and praying. Because see, when you recognize that you need God, then that's what you do. It's a matter of positioning yourself, humbling yourself. That's the position. Sometimes we get on our knees, we put our hands up, we look up as a symbol of what's in our heart, saying, God, I need you. God, I'm desperate for you. God, I can't make things happen in my life. And that's what this church was doing. Recognizing the darkness of the world around them. The Roman Empire was not a fun place to live for most of its inhabitants. It was a very oppressive world. But instead of focusing on their efforts and, you know, getting involved in politics at a level of, you know, this is what's going to change things. Not that we don't need to vote. We all need to vote and submit to the governing authorities what they've asked us to do. We have a role. Praise the Lord. But they recognized that's not what's going to change things. God needs to show up. And they were seeking God, saying, God, would you change hearts? Would you do work? Would you turn this world around? Would you bring hope? And while they were fasting and praying, it says the Holy Spirit spoke and said, send out Paul and Barnabas. And those two guys went out. It wasn't a huge army. It wasn't a big team. Just two guys. But they turned the world upside down. It's incredible. And God used them. And so here Paul is. He's saying, devote yourselves to prayer. I know the power of that. And I've seen it. And God will do amazing things. And he's just waiting to show you that He is the living God, that He is an awesome God, that He is a God who's hands-on with the world. When we look at the world and we see the mess, we see the hurt, all the terrible things happening, broken relationships, we get hopeless sometimes, don't we? Especially because so often we look at the world and we're really looking at it through our own lens of what can I do? And we feel pretty desperate, don't we? Last year, while we were in India, Jen's sister and husband were on the verge of divorce. And we felt like, I felt like, you know, sending her home for a few weeks to talk some sense into her sister, you know, kind of a deal. We were just torn apart. Some of you know what I'm talking about. They have two little boys, and we're just so broken. What could God do, you know? What could we do? Sometimes we start with, what can we do, don't we? And then we couldn't do anything, literally. We're worlds apart. We've got a small window every day where we can even talk to them that's normal talk time. Because we're just literally opposite. And so we started praying. And it was just that. Part of us being in India isn't just for the Indians, it's for us. To be in a position of helplessness so we could see God show us who He was, so we could grow. So we could have more of what God wants. And I got to be honest with you, it's probably been one of the best years in our life. Challenging, yes, but that's been good for us. It's been really good for us because we feel like we know God better. We know each other better. And we've developed some disciplines that maybe we wouldn't have otherwise. You know, praying together each morning, each night. Doing some things that I have on this outline for you. Just some thoughts about how to grow that. And so we were praying, and guess what happened? I mean, we were praying. We were getting serious because our hearts were breaking. And God put them back together. That's all I can say. And I talked to my brother-in-law just a few weeks ago. We had some time, and he was just telling me what a miracle it was, how his heart changed, how her heart changed, how God just did something. He still doesn't really understand it. Because it was God. God can do that. God's in the business of healing people, of taking the broken heart and restoring them, and restoring relationships. But it all starts with our relationship with Him. Us being a people set apart for Him as His children, people who will call on His name and call Him Abba Father. In this outline you have here, the question is, what would it look like to be so convinced of our need for God's involvement in our lives and in the lives of those around us that we become devoted to prayer? And there's a quote from Martin Luther about how he has to pray 2 hours a day and then 3 hours if it's a really busy day. It's kind of opposite what I think. I'm like, okay, busy day, let's crank down that devotion time a little bit here. Let's get busy quicker here. And I appreciate this because it's like, yeah, what if we gave more room for God in our lives? God's just waiting to do something powerful. Prayer matters because, number one, it reveals our radical relationship with God to others. You see, when we pray in John 15, it says, abide in me, and my word. If my word abides in you, and you abide in me, you'll ask whatever you wish, it'll be given to you. By this will you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So God's saying, look, when you abide in me and you're in tune with me, you're seeking me, and you start praying things, I show you what to pray, because we don't know how to pray sometimes, right? We say, God, what should I pray? And the words of God come to mind. We pray scripture sometimes, and then God shows up. And God does things, and fruit comes from it. Change comes from it. Things that we're longing for start happening in the lives, mainly in the lives of people around us and in our own lives. If you want change, you got to be devoted to prayer. It costs Jesus, number two, so much to purify us so we can enter into His presence. It costs Him so much to make us God's children again. Bible says not that God's hand is too short or His ears too deaf that He can hear us. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? It's that your sin has separated you from your God. That's what it says in the Bible. But Jesus then steps in and says, okay, I'm going to take all your sins on myself as if I've done them. I'm going to take God's anger, which is rightfully there, because God made a perfect world that's really good, and we've ruined it. Humanity. But he allowed us to because he didn't want a bunch of robots walking around. He wanted us to have a real choice. And he said, yeah, you can kill each other. You can ruin it. You can destroy relationships. You can destroy marriage. You can do whatever you want in your brokenness. And we do a pretty good job of it. And I mean myself included. I'm a mess if God doesn't get involved. And so it cost Jesus taking the wrath of God for all the stuff we've done that hurt God. God says he made every person in his image with absolute love and intention and purpose. So when we hurt somebody, we speak against somebody, do something against somebody, then it hurts God because he loves them, treasures them so much. It's like someone saying something bad about someone you care about. It hurts God. And so the Bible says that Jesus paid that price of taking God's anger in our place. And then he gave us this right standing with God, because Jesus was perfect. So when God looks at you, if you were to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you would say, God, I can't do it. I can't be good enough to be able to talk to you. I don't feel worthy to talk to you. By the way, that's okay. I don't feel worthy. I'm not worthy on my own. None of us are. But then Jesus comes in and says, I'll take your place. And when God looks at you, he's going to see me. And he likes me. He likes the way I lived. Jesus lived perfectly, sin-free. He was completely obedient, completely trusting of the Father, to the point where it says he learned obedience on the cross, being willing to be crucified. He gave up so much. Think about the power Jesus yielded. He could walk on water. He could raise the dead. He could make food come out of nothing and feed 5,000. He could speak to people and change hearts. It was amazing. Jesus could have ruled the world. He had that ability in his time. But it says he denied himself. He denied himself. Became a servant. Became simple. Gave up those rights and powers. Jesus actually had to pray. Isn't that interesting? That's how human he was. Sometimes we forget the humanist God. He prayed and asked God to do things because see, he'd emptied himself of being able to just do it on his own because he wanted to show you and I that we could pray too and see God do awesome things just like he did. He wanted to say, look, I'm showing you how it works. I depend on my Father and you can depend on the Father and you can be like me. Isn't that cool? And so God gives us that picture. We're adopted and given the Spirit, capital S, to retrain us to call him Abba. Galatians says that the Spirit has to teach us to call him Daddy. It feels weird to call God Daddy, doesn't it? It just something in our nature doesn't want to say it. But the Bible says in Galatians that the Spirit of God can teach us how to be comfortable calling him our dad and believing that that's the position that we have with God when we pray. Doesn't that change prayer? All of a sudden it's saying, Daddy, I have 4 kids. I love it when they call me Daddy. And they need something and I can give them something. I can do something for them. I love being that dad for them. And you know, when our little Hudson fell off that table and he was having those seizures, you know, I was broken. You know, I just was saying, God, you know, why couldn't I be the one going through this instead of him? They're trying to poke these IVs in him. The nurses, bless their heart, they're not that good in India. The doctors are great. The nurses could use some help. I mean, they just bloodied up every part of his body trying to get the IV in, and then they still didn't get it in right, and he was suffering, and I was just like, he wasn't sleeping, and it was just like, God, help. Finally, the doctor came. We started praying. Of course, that's usually how it works. And then the doctor shows up, and I said, could you just, like, do the IV? And he was like, sure. And awesome job. Doctors have made, a lot of them have studied other parts of the world, and they're just really good. And it was such a blessing. But you know what? In those moments, I just said, Lord, can I trade places with him? Did you know that God, our Father, is even more compassionate, loving? Satan wants you to have a distorted view of God, doesn't he? Feel like he's cold, and he's like, oh, you're on your own. You kind of brought this on yourself. You dived off that table. No. He's a daddy father. He's like, I feel your pain. I don't like seeing you go through this. But if he allows it, you know absolutely this is something that's important to go through. That cannot achieve things. Things cannot be achieved without it. You could absolutely trust the love of God. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't second guess. This whole creation would not work if he wasn't perfect. I was sharing, guys, with a Hindu guy that was working on our generator in India, and he didn't understand who God was because Hinduism teaches all sorts of different things. There's no real one thing. All these guys will tell you different things about God. But basically, God's like man. He's not perfect. They make mistakes. They fight. All the stories about the Hindu gods are crazy, you know, like these guys do stuff and they're you know, they're wacko. And like the Greek gods, the same kind of stories. And I said, wow, oh, that makes sense. That's why you think you're okay and you don't really need a savior because, you know, the gods are just like you. They're just weird and messed up and evil too. And I said, you know, the God of creation is different. Here's how you know. My wife just had a baby and the baby went from breathing water in my wife's womb to breathing air. Now, how many times do you have to get that right for there to be humanity? You make one mistake there, guess what happens? Baby's dead. No more humanity. There's so many things like that in the way God designed the universe. You don't get it right the first time. There's no nothing. Everything ends. God had to be perfect from the start for there to be life. There's no chance for evolving with so many things. And God wants us to know. He says through creation we can see his attributes. We can see who God is more clearly because he's awesome. And he doesn't make mistakes. And he's like, look, if I'm letting this happen in your life, you can trust me. There's something here that's bigger than you. There's something here. By the way, it's not about you. That's part of this. It's not about your comfort. It's not about you having heaven on earth. If you're looking for heaven on earth, I'm sorry. That's a short-sighted vision. But we do, don't we? That's what man-made religion is. It's about people around the world trying to do something for God so God will do something for them so they can have a piece of heaven here on earth. So God will prosper them. So God will make them happy. God will help them with something. It's all me, me, me. But the Bible tells us that God made everything for his glory out of nothing. It all belongs to him. You belong to him. If you're not living with your life submitted to God, to Jesus Christ, you're not only missing out, but you don't really understand who God is. Because you'll never be happy trying to live for yourself. The Bible says whoever tries to save their life will lose it. You'll lose it because you'll never be able to satisfy those hungers. And you know that's true, don't you? I mean, you can just keep doing stuff, buying stuff, and guess what? You need something more the next time. It just is an unending cycle. You'll never be satisfied, and you'll end up destroying yourself if you keep pursuing that because you'll get to the place where you're like, no, nothing can make me happy. I thought this would. I thought that would. I thought this marriage, this person. Some good things, by the way. I thought even doing something good would make me happy. But it all leaks out of us as soon as it goes in. The only thing that will satisfy you is when you place yourself in the hands of the living God who made you and say, God, I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross and follow you because you're the one that said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. Life to the fullest. Isn't that what we want? There's only one person who's ever been able to promise that. There's only one God who laid down his life to make that possible. All the Hindu gods, the gods of man-made religion, they've never sacrificed their life for anyone. They never do stuff like that. Only Jesus is doing that. And you're made for his purpose, but he also is madly in love with you. And he says, look, I can make you happy like no one else. It'll be me that's making you happy, not stuff that I can give you. And so God wants our whole heart. He wants us to have this relationship, to be his children, to know that he treasures us. We're running out of time here, and I just want to answer the question, so how do we start? How do we start? If you have never trusted in what Jesus did in your place, or maybe you've said Jesus plus, Jesus and, sometimes we do that, where it's like, God, okay, you know, yeah, I prayed the prayer to ask Jesus in my heart, but then ever since you've been trying to get God to do stuff for you, you've been trying to impress God, you've been trying to do things, that just means that you don't really understand what Jesus did. Because you can't do any better than Jesus. He did it all for you. He gave you a pure and holy standing before God. That's what he's done. He's made you a son or daughter of God that God loves and treasures. That's what he's done. So you can call God Daddy. And God's not like, well, I don't really like talking to you because you don't talk to me and you're not perfect and this and that. No. He looks and sees Jesus. And that's what God wants you to have, so that you can be a son or daughter of the Creator. And then God also says, look, when you're my son or daughter, I'm going to give you real heaven someday. And your life here on earth, I'm going to use this life to touch other people. Because I know when you get to heaven, the real heaven that lasts forever and ever, and is incredible, and there's no more dying or death or sin or any corruption, the real heaven is going to be so amazing. What's going to make it incredible is that all the things that bad happened here on this life that I promised to turn for good and to use, and you're going to be in on that, it's going to allow you to build deep relationships with people that you're going to spend eternity with. You're not going to be strangers. You're going to have a part. You're going to have an intimate part of what happened in their life through this broken world that we all travel through. And that's going to make heaven great, isn't it? To have family there, to be close, to be like, I was part of something. We got through that together. God did things in our lives through each other. That's why I love coming back to Grace Point, because there's all these people, you know, we prayed for, things that happened, things we went through together. And by God's grace, we're given the gift of going through that. You know, you guys are doing that with us and in lives in India. And people are getting turned from darkness to light. People are desperate to get God on their side, and they're doing all these rituals and temples and mosques and different places, and nothing's happening. I've been there, guys. I've seen the difference between what God is trying to give us and what man-made religion does. I've seen people on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem stuffing gobs of cards with prayers on them in between the stones, and chanting things over and over again, wanting to see if God will do something. I've seen people in temples give large sums of money and take all these prayers and put them on these idols and say these chants and trying to get God to do something for them. I've been at mosques, even here in Beaverton, actually I guess Sunset part, Portland, and I see a book in this mosque. I see them doing these Pilates-type prayer things that I've done with them. I'm not trying to make fun of it, because these guys are serious. They're trying to get something done with God. But they're doing these things. And of course, I'm praying to Jesus and we're doing this together, you know. And I'm just so excited, because I don't have to do Pilates for God to hear me. I don't have to do all these things. And I don't have to chant the same thing 100 times. I can just say, Daddy, Father, it's your son Brad. And I know you hear me. I know you love to hear my voice, because I love hearing my kids' voice. And I love to do things for them. And I know you love me more than I love my kids. And I got this thing going with you that I don't deserve. I'm trying to deserve God to do something for them. I'll never deserve God doing things for me. I know that. And you need to know that too. But Jesus can make you right with God and make you a child, renewed, restored, to have that kind of relationship. And it's so wonderful to share that with those people and say, hey, guess what? The God who made you, he's crazy about you. He wants you to be his son and daughter, or daughter. He wants you to be sure. Jesus didn't say, ask and you might receive if you do this, this, and this. Knock and the door might be open if you do this, this, and this. Seek and you might find if you're really smart and you're devout and do all these things. No, what did he say? Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be swung open. He said it three times as if to say, I know it's going to be hard for you to believe this. I'm going to just keep saying it until you start thinking, well, maybe I'm serious. I really want you to know that we can have this kind of relationship where you can talk to me and know that I really will do something. That's what's going to change the world. You're either a worrier or a worshiper, right? You either complain, and there's lots of things to complain about, or you call on the name of the Lord, who you know actually can do something about what's not right. And when you believe that, you'll be devoted to prayer. I ask you to pray for me. I need it. There's no special thing that I can say this morning that's going to do anything in your lives. I know that. I can't do it. I have no power. Steve is a great communicator. I always tell him he should be on the radio. I love hearing your pastor share the word of God. He does a great job, doesn't he? And you're blessed. But even Steve, nothing he says, no matter how eloquent, no matter how cool, no matter what great illustrations, will do anything without God. He's the only one that can do it. Today, he might be speaking to some of you. That's been my prayer. Use me, Lord. Even when I'm in India, I'm like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do anything here. And he does things because a lot of you are praying. Your prayers are so precious. If I could pay you to pray, I would. Pay a dollar a day to pray for me every day. That'd be a great deal for me. But it doesn't work that way. God doesn't want us giving money for people to say prayers. That's man-made religion. He wants us to believe so much that he is who he says he is and that he can do awesome things that we actually want to pray. And we start doing it on our own, in our little closet, on our own, and we start doing it with our families and our spouses, and we start doing it together in community at the church, men's prayer morning, women's prayer night. We start our own nights because we can't get enough, because we're just saying, God, you know, there was a famous preacher, D.L. Moody. Have you ever heard of Moody? And he had this boiler room, they called it. It was the basement where the boilers were to heat the church that he preached in. He was a very famous preacher. People would come from all over the world to hear him preach. And one day these guys came to the church, first time. They were all excited. Oh, we want to see Moody. We want to hear Moody. And this guy met him at the door and he said, hey, can I give you a tour of the place? You're a little bit early. They had to come early to get a seat. Oh, sure, we have another room. So they go down. He said, let me show you the boiler room. Oh, great, the boiler room. But they couldn't say no. This guy was so nice. You want to show me the boiler room? Let's go to the boiler room. They open up these doors down in this basement below the sanctuary. And guess what's there? 700 people praying. Seriously praying in the spirit. What God would want. That God would use Moody that morning. That God would do this. That God would change their families. God would change their nation. God would change the world. And then they got back up into the service, and this guy gets up to the podium, and it's the same guy that gave him the tour. And it was Moody. He didn't tell him his name. But he wanted people to know. Are you serious? You think it's me? You think I can do anything? And if you read Moody's biographies and letters, you know he was a broken man. He said, I just need God. And the more God, the less me, the better. And that takes position, humility. It takes humbling myself. There's things in your life that you're going to have to get rid of so that God can have prominence. So God, you got time for God. We don't have so much time, right? This morning, I've already gone over time. Might be my last time preaching this year. Maybe next year I'll get another chance. But you know what? Church, people, I plead with you. Assume the position. Humble yourselves. The world is dying to see God at work. And God is fired up and ready to show you that he can work, that he can do the impossible. I have seen it with my own eyes. I've seen restored marriages and relationships. I've seen drug addicts and alcoholics and all sorts of people surrender to Jesus Christ, and their whole world changes. And then through them, things change. And I tell you, that is God's plan for each one of us in our own worlds. And I plead with you, if you don't, number one, know Jesus Christ that way. Know God that way today. Humble yourself and say, God, I'm tired of feeling so far from you. I'm tired of just trying to get through life on my own. God, I'm tired of my own effort because it fails. God, I want to see you. God, I need you. Save me. Restore me. Do whatever it takes to bring me a place where I depend on you for life. Because that's the way to really live. Let's pray, shall we? Right now, you just pray. There's no special formula because this is just you and God. And God's here. He's very present. And he's speaking to some of you. He's saying, no further, no more. Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens and hopeless. Come to me. I will give you hope. I will take your burden. I will give you mine, which is light. I will teach you. I will show you how to walk with me. You can trust me because I love you like a child. And I want us to be close. And I don't want you feeling like you got to get through this life on your own. And I don't want you going out there saying that you follow me, but then you're going on your own. Nobody can see it. Nobody even knows because they don't see. They don't see me in your life because you're doing it alone. No more. Come to me. You just pray, Lord, I'm coming to you. God, Creator, I confess I've been trying to live for myself on my own. I've been trying my own effort. I'm sorry. I fail time and again. I come to you humbly and say, God, forgive me. Jesus, I put my trust in you. You're the one that can restore me. You're the one that can make me new. You're the one that can clean this evil heart and wash me clean and make me right and make me a child. Jesus, I trust you. Just say it. Jesus, I trust you. You're the only one. I can't do it. Come into my life. Come, be my Lord, my Savior. Be my everything I need. Because without you, I can't handle it. I can't do it. I can't make a difference. I can't even fix myself, yet alone try to help all these hurting people I know. God, I need more of you today. Today, I humble myself, and I claim your promise that if I'll humble myself, you will lift me up. You will lift me. Lift me up today, God. Take control. And Lord, show me how to walk closer with you. Show me how to walk with you every day. Because I've been trying. I can't do it. I need you to change my mind. Change the way I look at things. I need you to show me how awesome you are again. Because I've lost sight of it, Lord. I've been focused on all the troubles and problems around me. And I just feel so helpless. Wanted to give up. But Lord, today, from your word, I can see that I don't have to give up. Today, I've seen that there's a new chapter, and I'm going to get on board with seeking you and knocking and asking. And Lord, you're going to open those doors. God, I believe what you say today and help my unbelief. Just cry it out. Just pray to the Lord, either for the first time or maybe renewing your heart in that. And just say, Lord, show me how to be devoted to prayer. You've commanded me to do it because you want so much from me that there's no other way for except to devote myself. And Lord, let me be a part of that to others too, Lord. Help me to join arms with others here at Grace Point and beyond. And Lord, find us seeking you. Lord, do what you want to do in this generation, Lord. Lord, anew I believe you can do something in my life and through my life that will make a real difference, God. I just put my hope in you, that you have plans for me. And I denounce the lies of the devil that tell me to shut up and sit down and give up. Lord, I'm going to not give up. And I'm going to say yes to you and be willing to do whatever you want me to do. Be willing to start seeking you more regularly. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Amen. Amen. If God has spoken to you and you've been praying with me, I'd like to pray with you and the pastoral staff during this song and the offering and such. We're just going to have a time, and if you want to come up and pray together with your spouse or your family. Just as God would lead you, maybe that's a symbol of what's really going on, and you're saying, you know what, Brad, I could use prayer. I want to pray. I want to get serious about God. If you've made a first-time commitment, we want to help you to walk in that and to say, this is for real. And we'll just come around you. We'll just pray with you, maybe share some things, maybe connect you with someone that can walk with you, because that's what Jesus told us to do. He said, teach him to obey the things I command. Teach him how this works, because I really want you to walk with me for a lifetime. So you come while we sing, we'll just be here. I'll just be here at the altar. Some of the pastor staff, others, we'd love to pray with you and just share that with you.